Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon. It is Fry. Yay, people. And listen, I think I've converted everybody on my team. They'll tell me even before I say it, hey, it's Fry-yay. So I'm just going to say it now. It's Fry-yay. We're so happy it's Friday. I don't care where you work or what your job is or what you do or if there's school or no school. There is just something that is mentally invigorating about a good Friday. I'm so happy that it's Friday. We have made it through another week and have we all survived the crazy news cycle of this week? I don't know. I feel like we are hanging on for dear life. And, you know, I have this love-hate relationship right now with my phone. Like I want to stay involved. I want to stay appraised of whatever else might be going on, but yet I hate the news that's coming across my phone. So it's like, I want to stay close to my phone. I don't want anything to do with my phone. What's happening? Oh my goodness. What is happening? Well, let me tell you something that is happening. We have families who are seeking calm in this crazy world. We have families who are seeking to build their relationships on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We have families who are praying for this country. We have families who are concerned about their kids. We have families who are invested in their marriages. We have families who are looking to the Word of God for wisdom to guide us in these unprecedented times. And that should encourage all of us. Well, today is Friday. So we are going to have Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I'm answering your questions. So up today, I want to give you a preview of what I'm going to talk about today. I am going to talk about car seat safety. We have been doing 52 habits for healthy families. I really hope that you've been following along. If you're saying, I have no idea what you're talking about or I'm behind, you can go to any podcast platform or AFR.net or AFR's app, and you can look for the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes. Each one is the habit of the week, so you can go back and catch up in literally 1 minute and give yourself a little family quiz to see how you're doing. These are the building blocks of resilience. These are based on science. These are evidence-based. These are scripture-supported. We're all looking for that magic thing that's going to make us have the family that we always wanted. But there is no replacement for hard work, for spiritual discipline. But these are not chores. These are not things that you have to add into something that you're already doing and do another thing. These are just life habits. These are not things to do, but ways to be. These are just ways to be. So if you're looking back throughout, we started, of course, week one with prayer. We cannot do anything on our own. We cannot do anything without God's wisdom. And I hope you caught the show yesterday with Sally Burke from Moms in Prayer International. It was really encouraging. And I challenged all of you, and I hope that you've done it or that you're going to do it. Whenever you are out in a store over these next couple of weeks and you look over and you see all of those school supplies that are next to the Christmas decorations. Oh, did I say that out loud? Yep, I did right there. I want you to pray for whatever family that you see. Wouldn't it be amazing if we just have an army of prayer warriors that's going out secretly and just praying for all of these families that don't even know they're being blessed as they are standing right there trying to decide whether to go for the cheap pencil or the Ticonderoga, right? But I challenge you to pray for those families. Pray that the parents will have wisdom. Pray that those kids will be protected. Pray that they'll stay safe and healthy, and that people will come into their life who will point them to the hope that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I encourage you now more than ever to pray about things as much as you're worrying about them. Pray about them as much as you're wondering. Pray as much as you're complaining. Honestly, we are spending a lot of time complaining, and I feel like the most common sentence that I've heard in conversation over the last month is, can you believe, fill in the blank? Well, you know what? We need to change our mindset to say, you know what? I can believe it, because anything can happen in this world. But the one thing I do believe is that God is in control. and that I trust him with my future. I trust him with the outcome. I trust him even though it's hard. So in those habits, we've got prayer. So let's do a quick check-in here. Memorizing scripture. We talked yesterday so much about praying scripture. Going to church. Listen, you need to be in community with a body of believers who are going to speak words of life to you. Think about the music you're listening to. Are you listening to music that is elevating, that is inspiring, that is encouraging, that is speaking words of truth and life to your heart? Are you practicing gratitude when we think about everything that's going wrong? Are you thankful? I'm telling you, my son does this to me all the time. I have been painfully human this week, I'll just say, and my son will look at me and say, "Mom, take a deep breath. Tell me three things you're grateful for." And it really does change your attitude. Listen with your face. Are we just lecturing and half listening? I've struggled with this week really a lot. Are we having bedtime routine, sleep hygiene? Are you spending time every day in God's word? Are you getting up in the morning, spending time in God's word, or having some sort of morning routine to set you up for success for your day? Are you playing with your family? Are you having fun? Are you giving them words of affirmation? Are you writing words of affirmation in letters? Are you eating dinner together with your family at least once, if not optimally three times a week? Are you giving away your time, your tithe, your treasure, your resources? Are you prioritizing your family time? Are you modeling your faith around you to those around you who are thinking, "I don't know what is happening. I'm scared." Are you modeling your faith that God has got it? Are you watching things on streaming media that are encouraging and uplifting? Are you gathering together regularly with your family where you're spending face-to-face time together? Do you have tech-free zones? Are you taking pictures with your family? Yes, it doesn't matter if you're hot and sweaty. It doesn't matter if you think, "No, I want to lose 5 more pounds," or "No, I don't like that angle." Are you living life in pictures that your children will treasure? Are you taking time for vacation or staycation? Are you reading out loud? Are you being transparent with your tech use? Are you having times where you are disconnected from technology? Are you tracking honestly, being really honest about tracking your time and where you're going? Are you tidying up your tech so that you're not bothered by every notification and your family time is not interrupted by every work email notification or score notification? And are you eating healthy snacks? So, you know, I talk to a lot of people who will tell me, "Man," I say, "How are you doing?" I say, "Not so good. Man, I'm feeling worried. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling a little down." And then I'll say, "Are you sleeping well? Are you eating well? Are you getting exercise? Are you engaging with people who love you?" And the answer often is no, 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 no. Well, shocker, just amazing, right? That you don't feel well. But for the last month, we've been talking about safety. Safety is really important in keeping our families healthy. So keeping safe in the sun and water and play safety. So this week, I'm going to be talking about car safety. I know some of you are like, "That sounds really boring," but let me have a little conversation with you about keeping our family safe in the car. Now, this can be something I really want you to think about because, yeah, we talk about being physically safe in the car, but is your car an emotionally safe space for your family? If you think about it, a lot of times we are stuck in the car with each other. It is a captive audience. And many times when you have kids, sometimes everybody will plug into their own media. Maybe your teenagers have their, I'm going to say this wrong, AirPods. I get those confused. And then my kids, they laugh and they're saying, "Mom, you're so cringe right now." But they have in something, some device in their ear, right? Where they're listening to something separate. Maybe your kids are watching a video. Maybe you're listening to the news. That is not wrong. That is not bad. But are you using that opportunity to build relationships, to have conversation, to listen to music you can all jam out to, that you can all sing along with? Those kinds of things are really, really important. And I know if you've read my book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide for Parents and Teens to Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues, you know that my book opens with a very unsafe situation that happened in my car. Yes, I was driving. My teenage daughter was in the back. We were fighting, as we did often back then. She's 21 now, and we have a beautiful, beautiful relationship. By the way, she'll be on the show on Monday, so don't miss it. We'll have some sharing of wisdom and honest sharing time with you. She threw a book at my head. It was not an emotionally safe space. It was like we just got in that space together and we would start arguing. So I want you to think about, what is the environment in your car like? What is that social and emotional environment when you're driving around? Are you using it as a time to build relationships? Because you absolutely can. Now, it's also important to make sure that you're safe physically. So let me tell you a little bit about some car seat safety, some just logistics and what you would expect me to tell you as a nurse. And this is really important. So actually, for kids, car seat safety has evolved quite a bit. We have a lot greater technology, which is great because we can keep kids safer a lot better than we used to. Some of you are remembering cars. I remember cars that didn't even have a seatbelt. Those were not the good old days, friend. Those were really not the good old days. But for right now, we know that motor vehicle accidents, car accidents, are a leading cause of pediatric injury and death. And we know that there are about 3,000 kids who die a year in crashes. And if you have been a family who has experienced that, I am so sorry. It is so, so painful and always just such a tragic loss of life, especially when we see children. But there are ways that we can keep our kiddos safe. And so it's really important to talk to your, if you have littles, or if you're grandparenting littles or nannying littles or looking after littles in any way, make sure you know exactly how to keep them safe in the car. I want to tell you a story from my clinical practice. So I was talking with a mother right after the last guideline change, which says that kids should be in a rear-facing car seat as long as the car seat allows. So it should be at least until 2 years of age. And some manufacturers will have that longer, but the mechanism of injury, the risk is a lot lower if they are rear facing. Now that can be hard here in Texas because it's hot and the air vents don't face that way in a lot of cars. So I was seeing a mom in clinic and talking to her. She had a one-year-old. I was talking to her about car seat safety, and she had already turned around the car seat because it was hot and she wanted air conditioning. And so I was talking with her just about the evidence and the recommendation, and I may or may not have been pretty pushy about thinking about that. And she said, well, I don't even know how to turn my car seat back around. And I said, well, let's go out there and do it together. We were right next to the fire department, and so they came and helped us. And a lot of fire departments, by the way, are really great. They know, and they've taken classes on putting car seats in safely. And we turned it around. About 30 minutes later, I saw her back in the waiting room, and I thought, oh, she must have forgotten something. She came up to the desk, and she was weeping and asking to talk to me. I came out, and she said that she had left with her baby, and not even a block from our clinic had been involved in a really terrible car accident. But her baby was absolutely fine. Not a scratch, had been checked by paramedics, and she came to make sure that everything was okay. Now listen, I don't know if that baby was okay because we turned around the car seat or not, but I do know that that mama was very grateful that she did. She knew she had done everything in her power to keep her baby safe. And so this is really important. A lot of times we tend to skimp on car seat safety because it's a pain. Those seats are really hard to get in and out, but it's so, so, so important. So those infants and toddlers should be kept rear facing as long as you can. And if they've outgrown that, then they can go to a forward facing restraint with that has that 5-point harness in it. But they should be in it until they're at least about 40 pounds and about 5 years of age. And then after that, they should be in a booster seat until they're 4 feet 9 inches tall. Can you believe that? 4 feet 9 inches tall. Most kids are going to get that between 8 and 12 years old. Well, listen, when we come back, I'll talk about some car seat safety mistakes, how to keep your teen drivers safe, and then I'm going to talk about the media and how you can't trust them.
I know.
Don't go away. I'll be right back. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Through the fire and the rain, to call back every name that your mama never gave you. When they couldn't shake you, they shamed you. We ain't fitting rooms, it went and used that to change you. Your God sound too small to be the one that I see. Show me reasons for doubt, I got way more to keep believe. Your 11 on my demons, but the stranger thing is, when you started bleeding, that's when you wanna lead us. I need a Jesus, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming, say bye to Felicia. And I know your pain, homie, I know that you're grieving. Healing's in the kingdom, there is a redeemer.
In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, and his name's on me.
And who the Son says,
welcome back. Who the Sun Sets Free is free indeed. That song is a Friday vibe, isn't it? Who the Sun Sets Free by KB. And listen, we are free. We can be free from worry, from anxiety, from fear of what is going on in the world. And we can lead our families to love God and to serve others. Listen, welcome back. So glad to be here with you, Jessica Peck, on the Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. So glad to be with you. We are talking about this week's healthy habit, which is car seat safety. I know that sounds like maybe it's something boring, but let me go through some common mistakes that parents make. I'm sharing these from the Mayo Clinic. Lots of great resources. You should definitely talk with your primary care provider about car seat safety for any littles that you have in your car. It's really, really important. One mistake that parents make is getting a used car seat without doing your homework. So some parents will think, oh, that's a great deal, but used car seats can actually be dangerous if they've been in a crash, if they have missing parts, if they've been exposed to extreme heat. That can be something that you don't want to carry on. So actually, most car seats, all modern car seats, they have expiration dates. You can see how long they will last. Most of them will last about six years or so. So if you're getting a used car seat, make sure that you get the instruction book that comes with it, the label that shows the date the car seat was made and its model number. Look it up and make sure it hasn't been recalled, because sometimes parents will offload recalled seats in favor of a new one. So make sure you're not taking that one as borrowed or buying it, and make sure that it's not expired. It hasn't been damaged, has never been in a crash. Another mistake that families make sometimes is putting that car seat in the wrong spot. The safest place is in the back seat, away from the airbags. The airbags are made to protect the head and face of an adult. And so if you put it in the front seat, that can be really, really difficult. So now some vehicles only have one row of seats. And if you absolutely have to use that kind of vehicle, make sure that you're turning off the airbag, because that can be dangerous. Make sure you refer to your manual. Another mistake is installing the car seat or buckling them in the wrong way. And for those 5-point harnesses, that harness needs to be that bar that goes across their chest. It needs to go right across. Those chest clips should be even with their armpits, and make sure that the straps are flat against their chest. They're not rolled up. They're not bunched up. That is really important to make sure that the seat is installed the right way. It's not moving around. If you can move that seat more than an inch from side to side, it's not tight enough. So do whatever you need to do to make sure it's tight. And you could probably go on YouTube and some sixth grader is going to give you a tutorial on how to put it in. That's how it happens. Another mistake is moving to the next stage of car seat too soon. So sometimes the parents, they want to advance that forward facing, turn them around so I can see their face in the mirror. They can get some air conditioning, but that can be very dangerous for them. So don't be afraid to just say, nope, we're going to put up with that. You can get a little mirror that you can put on the back seat, or even there are some extensions you can have that will pump air conditioning over there, but make sure that you are following that height and weight limit. Where I see this happening a lot is in booster seats. So many kids, they want to be out of a booster seat. And I understand. I had one child with chronic health condition, and she was really small. And she was in junior high school. Yep, she was lugging her booster seat across the parking lot to go to a friend's house. But that, I told her, I will never compromise your safety. If I know something that can keep you safe that I should be doing, I will always do it. And just being calm and not giving in and just saying, nope, this is what we're going to do to be safe. That's really important. Using the booster seat with the back is really important, or the little clip that comes with it. And a lot of people think, what clip is that? There's a clip that comes with just the bottom booster seat that can be really, really important. Now, if you live in a place where I don't, but if you do live in a place that's really cold and your kid's getting in and out of a coat, well, that can make their straps like really loose if they're having their coat on or having their coat off. So make sure that you're paying attention to that. Those things are really important. Something that strikes fear in the heart of every parent is having a teen driver. And we know that teens are very much at risk for injury and crashes for sure. Teen drivers have a higher rate of crashing, mainly because they are immature. They have a lack of skills, a lack of experience. They are going to speed. They make mistakes in new situations. They get distracted. And so that is something that we really need to make sure that we are paying attention to. But here's the thing. The best way that you can make your teen a safe driver is to be a safe driver yourself. They're going to do what they do, not what you say. And so if you're wearing your seatbelt, if you are not picking up your phone while you're driving, yep, I'm talking to you right now that you have your phone in your hand while you're driving, listening to the radio, I am calling you out. Put that phone down right now. You should not be holding that while you're driving. And this is so hard, but I have given my kids permission to call me out and to say, put your phone down. They love doing that, by the way. They absolutely love that. But you know what? It gives me the right to go back and say, you put your phone down. And they're actually much better about it than I am. That is absolutely true. And so the thing is, you have much more influence on teenagers than you think that you do. And they really are going to take to heart what you say to keep them safe. That is really, really important. And one of the things that we need to talk to them about the most is distracted driving. 1 in 3 teens who text say, yeah, they've texted while they're driving. Research has found that dialing a phone number while driving increases your risk of crashing by 6 times. If you're texting, it increases the risk by 23 times. How many of you, even today, have driven down the road, seen someone swerve, gone by them and thought they have both hands on their phone? They don't even have one single hand on the wheel. It's so frustrating, but then sometimes we can be guilty. But that is important to talk about. So many teens also, they use their morning drive time to eat breakfast, drink coffee, make movies or videos for social media, putting on makeup, changing the radio station. Taking your eyes off the road for even a second is really important. So make sure that you know what your state's laws are on distracted driving. If you're on the Facebook feed, I'm going to put these on there for you so that you know and know what are the laws. Can you have a phone? Do you have to have a hands-free device? But for all teens, I tell them, even from driver's ed, and all of us should be doing this, put your phone in a place where you cannot pick it up. Put it way in the back if you have to. Put it in the back of your car. Lock it in the center console. Put it in the glove compartment. Make it so that where you are not tempted at all. That's really important. And set consequences for that. So another resource I'm going to post for you on our Facebook feed is a contract that you can have between parent and child. And I will, I'll be posting that, and I'll talk about that in just a second. Making a contract can be really, really important. Another thing with teens is that in a study from the National Transportation Safety Agency, teen drivers are 2.5 more times more likely to engage in risky behaviors when they are driving with a friend than if they are driving alone. This is really important. So there are some state laws that say you can't drive with a friend until you're 18. You can only have siblings in the car or one person who's not an immediate family member. And this is what I see a lot of times. Those laws, parents a lot of times are lackadaisical about. And we think, yeah, but my kid's really responsible. And, you know, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. But it really is a big deal to obey the laws of the state that we're in as far as driving goes, and to make sure that we are keeping them as safe as possible. Because I have been on the other side of that, where parents have made a decision and then they've later regretted that. And you don't want to do that. That's why it's so important to be as safe as possible and just to take all of those precautions. So think about whether or not they can ride with somebody or not. And don't be afraid to be the parent and just say, no, you can't drive with that person in the car. I definitely do that. Even my kids will tell their friends, well, you know, my mom, she's going to say no. And I say, yeah, that's right. I'm going to say no. And I'm okay with that. Speeding is also really important. Speeding was a factor in 30% of fatal crashes that happened in teen drivers in 2022. And so we need to make sure that we are watching our own speeding behaviors. I know for our insurance company, our teen drivers have a little device that puts in their car. And one of my kids is really, really particular about having like a really high score. And they don't like their dad driving the car because they say, no, you'll drive down my score. So make sure that we are being really good examples for that. Another thing with driving and drinking with teenagers. Now they may not, you think my teen would never, but they very well may find themselves in a situation where someone else is drinking and driving. And are they going to get in that car? It can be really hard because you're thinking, where are we going to go if we're leaving this parking lot? If this place is closing, am I just going to stay here by myself? How will I get a ride home? Am I even safe to stay here? Those kinds of things. Make sure that you know, that you tell your kids, don't ever, 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 ever get in a car with someone where you even think that they may have been drinking alcohol or using drugs. Make sure they have an out. They have a code word that they can call you for, that they can say, hey, text an emoji, text a word, say a word. Just that means come get me right now. That is a really important conversation to have. And when kids know that you anticipate they may encounter that situation unexpectedly, especially if it's no fault of their own, they're going to know that you are a lifeline rather than thinking, am I going to get in trouble? Seatbelts are so important. The majority of teens involved in fatal crashes are unbuckled. And actually, it's estimated about half of teen drivers who die in a crash do not wear a seatbelt. So important just to set the example. One of the best things you can do as a parent and a role model is to always wear your seatbelt in the car. And children who grow up watching their parents buckle up, they're more likely to buckle up when they become drivers. And remember, this isn't a one-time conversation. It is ongoing. And make sure that you invite them to hold you accountable for wearing your seatbelt. That's really important. Another risk for teen drivers is going to drive while they're asleep. So make sure you have that conversation that they're getting good sleep at night, especially if you know they're driving to school or driving to work. That's where some of our other healthy habits around sleep hygiene and a bedtime routine and a morning routine are really important. And sometimes that they're really sleepy, they can want energy drinks. Well, that's not a great way to stay awake either. So listen, some of the things in this parent teen driving agreement that I'm posting for you on the Facebook Live, you can also find it. It's from the American Academy of Pediatrics, but there are a lot of other options as well. But it talks about things that your teen will promise to do. I promise I will obey all the rules of the road. And there's some specific talking points that go through here, talking about always wear a seatbelt, make sure my passengers are wearing a seatbelt, that they'll stay within the speed limit, that they won't give rides to hitchhikers, because kids can make poor decisions. Good kids can make poor decisions. There's a section that I promise I will make sure I can stay focused on driving. It talks about texting and eating and drinking and having emotions and how you call your parents for a ride if you need one. There's one about drugs and alcohol and a section for being a responsible driver. So these things are all really, really important. And I hope that you will take some time to talk to your teens about how to be safe in the car and that we're modeling those behaviors. So whether you have littles, whether you drive other kids around, whether you have teen drivers, you're a grandparent, you're a carpooler, that car safety is really important. We spend a lot of time in the car and using that time to make sure it's not only physically safe, but it's emotionally and mentally safe is really important. You know, we worry a lot about our families out there on the highway. But the highway that we should really be worried about is the information superhighway. And kids, let me tell you, they are not safe on that in many, many ways. If you are a regular listener, you know, you've heard me talk about the risks of social media, the risk taking that comes with that, how it impacts kids' mental health, how it affects their emotional health, we have the comparison trap, how they sit in a chair for a long time and they're sedentary and they are unhealthy and have heart disease, or they don't know how to talk to a person in real life and they only know how to talk to a person online. But one of the biggest dangers that I see today is teens who are absorbing media today. They are very susceptible to think everything they see is true. And when we think about the fact the majority of teens get their information directly from social media, we've got a problem. Now, this is something very awkward, and I'm going to say it very, very carefully for little ears, but it's something we need to know about because this has gone viral among teenagers. If you know anything about the current presidential race, you may have heard a rumor about the vice president, J.D. Vance, and something that is in his book that actually is not in his book at all. And yet teens, if you poll them, they absolutely believe it's true. We're going to talk about that, how you can guide your family from a very early age to the teen years or beyond. We all need to sit down and have a conversation. Who are we listening to? What news sources do we trust? Don't miss it. I'll be right back after this break. It is a good day. It's a great day. It's a Friday. It's Good Day by Forrest Frank. Are we having a good day? I hope you're having a good day. We are talking about safety. We are talking about the healthy habit of the week, and we're talking about keeping our kids safe. Now, as we wrap up this four weeks or so that we've talked about different elements of safety, I want to remind you out there that it's great to be safe, and there are things that we have learned. There are definitely things we do better than we did in our childhood, but it's also possible to go overboard on safety, and we cannot be fear-based. And you know, tether our children to our bodies as we're walking out in public and things like that. We have to be good judgment and use good judgment and use wisdom and ask God for discernment and knowing the information that we need to know to keep safe, but not going overboard. Because one of the things that we know about restricting kids too much is that it restricts their development. Kids need some time for free play. They need a certain amount of risk taking. Our role is just to look at the environment and make sure that it's safe where they're doing that, and to give them some time for unstructured play, for unsupervised play. And so that's just important to know where your child is developmentally, to be safe, but not to be overboard and driven by fear. So what is your motivation in that? And one thing that we are really afraid of is how our kids are interpreting information from the media. So if you're listening, I kind of left you on a cliffhanger. And again, this rumor is just so, that I was talking about, it is so vile and just so unnecessary. I don't want to even repeat it, but I will tell you that it is, what happened was somebody on social media recreated a page of J.D. Vance's book and made it look like it was really real. Now, the reason this interests me is because I've been following deepfake technology for quite some time now, and this is a real concern. So let's back up and talk about deepfakes really quick. What is a deepfake? Now, if you ask kids these days, kids this age and Gen Z, Gen Alpha, most of them are familiar with deepfake terminology, and they know what it is. It's basically using artificial intelligence technology to adapt or manipulate an image, a voice, a video. So you may have seen deepfakes like coaches after they lose or win a game, and it looks like it's them talking, but really they put, somebody takes AI and puts different words in their mouth. And those kinds of videos honestly can be funny, can be entertaining. But we are in really murky ethical water when we're talking about manipulating someone's image, someone's voice, and using it for entertainment. Where is the line? And if we're having a hard time with that as adults, how are kids supposed to interpret that? And especially when they're growing up with deepfake technology and looking at that as very, very normal. And that's what's happening. That's the same kind of concept that we're looking at. It was a fake of the page from the book. Now, this wasn't necessarily AI, but it looked like a fake, and same kind of general concept. And it talked about something that he did, that J.D. Vance did, that he did not. But yet everybody thought, oh, did you hear? Like, they just accept it as true. That is really, really hard. Now, another thing that's really concerning is that actually 96% of deepfakes are sexually explicit. That's where AI technology is really going. So you may see some videos of political figures or sporting figures or celebrities that may seem innocuous, but under the surface, that is not the case at all. That's not what's happening. The social media platform Discord is actually really popular for deepfake, and especially deepfake explicit material for sure. So this is something that we need to talk about to the next generation. Where are they getting their information? They can also follow influencers on social media who look really credible, who look like they have a really nice video setup, they've got a nice microphone, they look legitimate, and they have a lot of followers. And that's how young people are looking to see, who should I follow? Are there a lot of people here? Are there a lot of people commenting? Are there a lot of people following? Is this person popular? Do they look like they're, you know, not giving their show out of their parents' basement? Like, does it look professional? And does it seem right to me? And are my friends talking about it? Well, we need to have a conversation with our kids about where they're getting their information. Now, leading with lecturing is not going to get you anywhere. So a lot of kids, the honest truth, and I talked about this a little bit this week, as we're watching the news source, here's what can happen. You watch your favorite news source, and when you see news of cultural events, of political events that come out of that news source, they make you angry. They make you afraid. Your kids do not think, oh, that's so great that you're getting informed by this credible and reliable source. They think, nope, anytime you have that on, you're just angry, You're lecturing, you're afraid, you're talking about something I don't want to talk about. I don't want anything to do with that. That's something that we really need to think about. When you are engaging in your home in a credible news source, what is your attitude? What is your posture? And that's so much of what we talk about here is hearing those things, translating them for your kids, for your family, and then also showing them how you're demonstrating your faith, saying, okay, I heard this. That's something we should add to our prayer list. Oof, that's something that worries me. And when I get worried, this is what I do to combat my worry. I'm going to have some gratitude. You know, I'm going to turn this off for a little bit. I'm going to take a walk. Or whatever coping mechanism that you have, make sure that you're not unintentionally turning your kids off from that news source because they just see it as something that makes you angry. They don't have the discernment to recognize that maybe you're getting your information from there. That's really important. You also want to know where the media is at. Now, if you're interested, again, taking this with a grain of salt, but there are some charts that can be helpful in guiding you if you are looking at, you want to have news that is consistent with your political beliefs. There is, you can go to allsides.com. They have a media bias chart. Again, take it with a grain of salt, but it's at least a starting place for conversations with families. And you can look across the spectrum and see what news sources are generally related or are generally identified as more liberal, as more conservative, as more neutral. You can see right there and you can see where those fall in there and look and see where are you getting your news from? Where along the political ideological spectrum do you want to have that? That can be an important thing to look at too. When you're looking at information, when we're looking at disinformation and misinformation, you may have heard some of those terms. Let me break it down for you here. We all know what information is. Those are just facts. But misinformation is actually a term that is used for false information, but that's created without an intent to cause harm. Usually it's someone who wants to understand a topic, wants to protect other people. They believe that they're sharing good information. And the truth is that the term misinformation has been deeply politicized. Who gets to say what is misinformation? Who gets to make that call? Those are conversations that you need to be having with your family. But the difference is, generally speaking, disinformation is a term that's used for false information intentionally spread to cause harm. Now, I'm concerned about both types of information as far as teens because they do get misinformation. They do follow influencers on TikTok who are giving them information and maybe they even think it's really good. I've seen TikTok videos where people will say, you know, kids will get on here and say, okay, you know, here's how you manage your depression. I'm 16 years old and I've researched this and these are the herbs that you should take. Well, that's misinformation, you know, most likely going to be. Disinformation, I'm very concerned about because if you think that there aren't bad actors out there who are intentionally targeting our kids with disinformation, trying to sway their beliefs and mainly guide their purchasing power, well, then you should know that that is absolutely happening. And another word that I've heard tossed around is disinfodemic, just an epidemic of information where kids don't know what to believe. That is really, really important to know. And so the challenge is talking about our kids to see, okay, when you're looking at something on social media or online, how do you know if it's credible? How do you decide and make that decision? So I'm going to give you some advice. This is actually from Johns Hopkins that just guides kids and how do you look at information sources. So first of all, the location of the poster. Where are they? Are they in the same location that they're posting the news about? Are they even in this country? Do they work in the field that they say that they're working in? Where is this poster? That is really important to know. The second thing that kids should look at is the poster's network. Who do they follow? Who is following them? Do they know this account? Is this an account that they normally follow? Or is it being advertised in their feed or shared by someone else? So a lot of times kids will see one cool video and then all of a sudden they're following this person, then their algorithm changes and it's feeding them more information to incredibly shape their worldview. So it's essential that we have these conversations to say, stop, don't just follow someone after one video. Take a minute to look and see, where are they and who are they following? If they are following accounts that are clearly against your beliefs, against your values, then that should be a red flag. And the third thing is the content. What is the information that they're posting? Is this like way out of left field? Are there other sources that you can look at to say, yes, I see other sources saying this too? Because there's really a lot of power in exclusivity, you know, exclusive, new, breaking, all of those kinds of things. And if they think, oh, I'm the first to know this, even if it may or may not be true, if they hear something new that they've never heard before, where are they going to corroborate this? And I'll tell you, they should be going to their parents. That's who they should be going to and saying, I heard this today. Can you help me figure out if it's true? And that can be hard because even as parents, we can be deceived by things that are on social media. It's happened to me where even my kids have been the one to tell me, no, mom, that's a deep fake. Nope, you just got catfished. Nope, you just got clickbaited. Oh, that is humiliating, but it happens. Okay, number four. Contextual updates. So does this person who's posting usually post about this topic? Or is this just something completely different? If so, what did the past or updated post say? So is this somebody who's on a credible platform talking about this? Or all of a sudden, did they just tell you something that's completely different? Do they give you more details or more resources to verify what they are saying is true? That's really important. Another thing to look at, the age of the account. How long has this account been there? How long has this person been an influencer, been sharing about these things? You should be very wary of recently created accounts, especially as we're seeing AI. A lot of accounts are bots. They're not even real. This is just AI generated content just for clickbait, honestly. Another thing is, what is the date of the information that's posted? So sometimes I've seen it happen many, many times. Something will go viral, and then 5 years later, all of a sudden, that story goes viral again, but it happened 5 years ago. So if they're sharing a news story, look at the date of that story. Did this really just happen? Because, friends, listen, when we see things that are posted online, a lot of times it gets our emotions going and we can be very, very afraid and think, oh my goodness. And we're so reactive, you know, instead of looking to see what do we do to make sure that kids are looking at things that are trustworthy. So the last one is reliability. So is this source of information reliable? I really encourage you sometime over the weekend, sometime in the next week, as you're sitting with your family, your spouse, your kids, I really want you to ask them, where do you get your news information from? I hope that you get your news information from AFR. There's a lot of great content to follow here that's encouraging and uplifting. But I encourage you to talk about it and say, where do we get our information? And maybe they have good sources of information that you didn't know about. And maybe that can be really, really helpful. And guide them and say, here's where I get my information. Here's how I know that this source is trustworthy. Because, you know, we can tend to badmouth journalists as a profession, just like lawyers or, you know, put any other profession in there. But bless all your hearts. We're so grateful for all the lawyers and all the journalists who are doing a good job. And I know I'm raising an aspiring journalist who wants to be a voice of truth. So where do you find those voices of truth and how do you share them with others? Well, listen, don't forget that this week was Truth for Youth Bibles. We're trying to give 60,000 Bibles to kids in school who need them. You can go to tfy.org. That's TFY, like Truth for Youth Bibles.org, and give away Bibles to kids who need it. Do it. Share the link. Share it with somebody else and do it. And listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Until I see you here again on Monday, I'll be here with my oldest daughter. We'll be talking about some life lessons. I hope to see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.